Commissioner Custodio.
Present.
Commissioner Perez.
Present.
Chairman Hudson.
Present. At this time, we'd like to have a discussion and a vote for a vice chair. Any comments?
I motion that Commissioner Custodio be the vice chair.
Okay, we have a motion from Mr. Perez that Mr. Custodio would be the vice chair. I would second that motion. Can we do a roll call on that one, Ellen?
Commissioner Perez?
Yes.
Chairman Hudson?
Yes.
Commissioner Custodio?
Yes.
Okay, congratulations.
Thank you.
Have a different hat you can wear or something?
Yeah, is there something else?
Yeah, get a plaque or something.
No, guess not.
At this time, we have the opportunity for the public to comment. Now, anybody here that would like to speak on a public comment that on something that's not on the agenda already? Is there anyone here that'd like to speak public comment on something that's not on the agenda? Okay, we'll move on then. Under consent agenda, item number 2, minutes of the regular meeting of August the 21st. Staff is recommending that we approve. Have you had a chance to review the minutes from the last meeting?
I have, yes.
Okay. I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes from the last meeting.
I entertain that motion.
I second it.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, it carries 3-0. We move now to public hearing. Item number 3, consideration of rezone application number 2014-01 and the related environmental assessment number 2014-12. Mr. Fabina, would you like to speak to that?
Sure. Mr. Chairman, members of the Planning Commission, Kevin Fabina, Community Development Director.
There we go. This evening, you have this item number 3 before you. The applicant has requested that the item be held over and actually referred back to staff. So you may be wondering kind of why, if the applicant made that request of staff, why is it even on the agenda? Quite frankly, in accordance with the municipal code, which requires public notices, as well as the required public notice that went in with respect to the CEQA document, that in fact the all of those two notices and noticing of the neighbors indicated that there would be a public hearing tonight. Therefore, it is staff's obligation under the law to put it on the agenda. Staff is recommending that you refer it back to staff. We'd appreciate if you would kindly take a vote to officially send it back to staff, which would be your indication that no action is being taken at this time. And again, it's a matter that would have to be re-noticed with respect to the public hearing if a period of time goes by. If the applicant wants to bring it back next time, we would simply re-notice the meeting, put everything back in the paper, and we kind of start all over again. So is that clear as to what we're doing and why we're doing it? I think we also put in your agenda a series of emails indicating that, you know, it is staff's understanding that it is the applicant's request to take it off the agenda tonight. Thank you.
Questions, comments? So I would entertain a motion that that we recommend that this number 3 be taken back to staff and that there be no action.
Okay, a motion that we submit it back to staff for continuance and to a future date.
I second that.
We have a first and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we move on to item number 4, consideration of conditional use permit number 335, amendment application number 6, and there's an A and a B that goes with that. Mr. Firmino, I'm an employee of Emanuel School, so I ask to be recused from this matter, and
okay.
I will be leaving the council chambers. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
So you
You're up.
So if the commissioner give me just one second, let me unlock a door so Mr. Hudson has a place to go and Ellen gets us set up here. Okay.
Mr. Cardino?
Yes, sir.
Please? Could you start on number four for us, please?
Absolutely. We're hoping the screen's going to fire up real quick. But basically, this evening before you is item number four. It is an amendment, and it's amendment number six to conditional use permit number 335. What I'd like to do for the benefit of the commission as well as the audience is kind of walk you through a quick history, because I think there's some things that happened in the past that will help you understand why we're even here today, and then we'll walk through the actual project itself. Kind of a trip down memory lane, if you will. In 1991, the first master plan was submitted and approved under the auspices of CUP 335. Again, that was in 1991. Between 1991 and 2004, there were subsequent amendments, basically two and three. Those amendments included minor additions such as classrooms and other minor modifications and the addition of certain amenities to the campus that we know as Emanuel Schools or Emanuel High School today. Emanuel High School submitted an amendment number four to the CUP in approximately 2003, but it was actually approved in 2004. That particular amendment is the subject of what we're here to talk about tonight. That particular amendment proposed to construct two driveways along South Hope Avenue. It was approved at the staff level. It did go to the Planning Commission, and the Planning Commission approved the project. This is the original proposal, as we refer to it, and you can see the two driveways that were proposed that both have ingress and egress off of Hope Avenue. The decision of the Planning Commission was appealed to the City Council. There were a number of petitions that were presented to the council. The primary theme to those, to the appeal, was based on traffic volume concerns. In February 2004, I apologize, it was not 2014. In February 10 of 2004, the council upheld the appeal and directed staff and the applicant to look further for other alternatives. So basically what the council did was, we agree with the community that there is a concern there, and they basically referred it back to staff. In July of 13th of 2004, the City Council approved a Planning Commission's recommendation to construct a bus bay. So what really happened is they send it back to the Planning Commission. Planning Commission worked with the community, the applicant. On July, it came back to the council. Council approved it with the recommendation to construct a bus entrance only and an entrance and exit along the West Curtis alignment, which looks like this today. Okay. This is what was approved, not constructed, simply approved. This is the campus. The green line represents the kind of the outer boundaries of the campus, if you will. And it's very clear that on Hope Avenue, kind of between the baseball field and the parking lot, there is not an entrance constructed as of yet under the approved Exhibit A, which you previously saw and we just discussed. There is an existing drive approach, and it's my understanding that there were also stop signs recently included at the recommendation of the Planning Commission. So that kind of gets us to today. Under amendment number six of that original CUP 335, the applicant is proposing to relocate entrance and exits from South Avenue. South Hope Avenue. There will be two of them. That's one component of the project. A second component of the project is construction of about 9,900 square feet of building area for a multi-purpose room landscaping and some basketball courts. So specifically related to the access or ingress or egress off of Hope Avenue, what you see is what would be considered the, let's see, that would be the northern approach. As indicated on the plans, it is directional, meaning one direction in. It does indicate that by traffic flows, it would be a left in and a right in. No right outs. The second approach, which is, if you will, kind of looking at it from a traffic pattern perspective, is along the main corridor for ingress, egress, is right in, right out, left in, left out. Okay? Again, the proposal includes the 9940 square feet, one-story building with classrooms, multiple purpose room, library offices, and two restrooms. Again, there's additional landscaping and the basketball courts. The hatched area shows you generally the scope of that area. It would be to the north of what's considered to be the chapel. That blackened square, if you will, is where the new building will be sited. For the benefit of all, this is the proposed building elevations. They're rather typical, school-looking. It's a typical pitched roof. It's a 25-foot from floor to parapet. It does have a little bit of architectural features with its band across, kind of above the doors and windows to kind of separate the top and the bottom of the building. It's got just some, again, pitches and some changes in the roof line, as you can see, both on the north and south side. It does have 3-foot overhangs of the roof to give it a little bit more feature to it. So this is actually the pieces that you would see from Hope, or if you were looking to the east, this would be what you would be looking at. And again, the building is sited considerably interior to the subject property. This is what you would, these two elevations are again the north and south. So if you are coming down the alley, you would be seeing the northern elevation. The southern elevation is really kind of masked internally, very much so by the mass and bulk of the chapel, which would really kind of hide this. But again, you can also see the slopes and some of the architecture to the building that's being proposed. That being said, of course, as you know, the subject project is subject to the California Environmental Quality Act. Staff did our usual due diligence with respect to CEQA and evaluating the project. We did find the project is exempt from CEQA, and there were two specific sections that we believe that are applicable to this project. And the first is section 15301, which talks about or is characterized as an addition of a private facility less than 10,000 square feet, which this is, and all public facilities are available to that site. The second is specific to minor additions to schools, and it does talk specifically about minor additions to existing schools within an existing school site or grounds, which this clearly is, and it does not change the original intent of the school, nor significantly change the capacity of the school. So we think both of these are applicable and satisfy CEQA. Therefore, it is staff's recommendation that the Planning Commission approve environmental assessment number 2014-14 related to the condition of use 335 application number 6. It's also our recommendation to you this evening that you actually approve the conditional use number 335 amendment number 6, which again involves the construction of the 9,400 square feet, but also the two drive approaches as staff's presented to you this evening. That concludes staff's report. I might add just a couple of things. This is unique, as the Planning Commission is a little thin by only having two members. As you all know, typically what happens when we hold public hearings like this is the applicant's given the opportunity to speak. You know, and again, ask questions. I'm available for questions. You'll hear from the public themselves, like we would typically do. And in this case, I do want it to be known that it will take two affirmative votes to pass this. If you split, because we don't have a third, then that in fact would be a denial of the project. So just so that everybody's kind of clear about what will happen and how the proceedings will move forward, I thought that would just kind of be helpful to the public as well as the commission. Do you have any questions of me?
No. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Fibino.
Sure.
So I would like to invite the applicant if they want to say anything at this time.
Good evening. I'm Ryan Wood. I'm the superintendent of Emanuel Schools and also a parent who has kids who every once in a while ride their bike or walk to school as well at Emanuel. So I'm dual role there. Two reasons we're here tonight. One is has to do with growth. If you've seen, we have the need for a building to provide a safe setting for our students. Right now we have junior high who are using high school classes. And by adding that building, we're able to remove the junior high students from where they're located and give them their own space, which, if you know anything about education, obviously is a safety upgrade for us. The biggest reason we want to see the entrances changed is because of safety. For the last few years, as our school has grown, we moved the elementary over, we have seen an increase in that intersection in the morning and in the afternoon. And the reason I mention being a parent, when my children ride their bike to school and they get to the point where they're at school, they have to actually cross two different crosswalks. And there's traffic coming in from three different locations on the street, Curtis Avenue and Hope, as well as a crosswalk when they're actually on our campus with that same traffic. And so safety is the biggest concern. If you were there in the afternoon, you would see that the traffic is backed up, actually exits out of the campus and onto Hope Avenue, basically because of the way it's designed. We have traffic coming in that location as well as exiting that location. We have buses who enter that location and exit that location. And so it creates quite it's, you'll hear from some parents, it's quite interesting to see. It also adds time. So the pickup, we believe, by going with the two new entrances, would decrease the pickup time for our parents. They would be able to go in quicker, pick up, and flow out with the traffic. That's why we've taken consideration to being one of them just an entrance and one having an exit. And on that exit, we would like them to turn right. It is about safety. At the same time, we feel like Emanuel's done a good job being a good neighbor. We've tried to do everything we can to be respectful of the people who live around our school, but at the same time, we believe this is the safest move, not only because we need the growth area, but we would want this for the entrance exit now at this point anyways. So safety is a huge thing for our students, huge. So we have a couple people who have come with a presentation with some pictures. For anybody who's interested, they can see some of the flow of the traffic, kind of see how it looks, and hopefully that'll give a little clarity on why we are requesting not only the building for growth, but the two entrances for our safety of our students. So, thank you.
Thank you.
You have any questions for me?
I will reserve them for later.
Okay.
Okay, great, thanks. Good afternoon, John Clements from 615 West Carpenter here in the city of Reedley, where I also hold a home occupation consulting business in school transportation based on my 40 years in public services down the street at Kings Canyon Unified. Congratulations, Vice Chair Custodio. I sat in that chair as Vice Chair about 10 of my 16 years and four terms that I served on the City of Reedley Planning Commission, and nice to see you, Commissioner Perez. You took my spot. I termed out. Oh, it's blue now. It's not white. Ooh. My lettering will be black in a minute. So I come to you not only as a consultant asked to speak on behalf of Emanuel Schools, but in my spare time this past year, I've also served as a substitute school bus driver since I've held a school bus certificate for 40 years and been a school bus instructor for about 32 of that 40 years. And can attest to the tightness of our existing driveway, which I really consider more an alleyway than a street coming off of Hope onto Curtis and entering our narrow drive there at Emanuel. So obviously we're talking about the school entrance and exit driveways, the proposed, and it's both for student and neighborhood safety. Yeah, that kind of tweaked too, didn't it? Yeah.
Do you want me to change it?
Can you change it just back to white and take that out? Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you. So the question is, why are the new driveway approaches needed? And Superintendent Ryan alluded to that just a minute ago. They're making an expansion to the campus with more buildings and facilities. And you know what's so unique I find about Emanuel, it's almost refreshing coming from the public sector, is there are students that come from three different campuses. And they choose to come to Reedley. Their parents come oftentimes and pick them up after games and are our local customers not only at Emanuel, but with our local retailers as well. So those driveways are needed because you can see in the center picture, it's a tight squeeze for periods of time in the morning and the afternoon where we have extreme peak times. And it's a tight squeeze getting in and out of that one single driveway from the east entrance of the campus and trying to put a bus and a car and several cars in there at one time. So it's about enhancing our safety. So the goal is to provide increased safety by separating the congestion to the entrance and the exit further down Hope Avenue. And by separating those, we're moving the vehicle flow away from the crosswalk. And the goal is to reduce our parent drop-off time by providing a one-direction flow in the traffic circulation. And in doing so, we're also reducing emissions that our children are exposed to on the campus. And as I mentioned a moment ago, to improve safety at the entrance points where students are biking and walking. And there are more of those walking and biking because I reside in that neighborhood. I even choose to walk there because it's convenient. So the intersection that we're currently talking about eliminating the entrance and exit is at Hope and Curtis on the Emanuel property. And you can see that the paved area is actually basically what becomes Curtis and turns into an alleyway. And then there's a crosswalk there where you can see up the upper right where there's a woman with her children and a stroller coming in between the cars, and they had to come down the sidewalk. And then of course bicycles cross there at the main intersection, and it's only stopped traffic in two directions, east and west. So obviously early in the morning at about 7:15, even up to 7:30, it's pretty calm and quiet, and there's just a few cats in the neighborhood meandering around, and then it gets to the point where we have SUVs coming and family cars and up to five school buses that can come in there at one time. You saw a picture earlier of the proposed ingress and egress at the lower bottom, and I'll show you a photo of the traffic flow. This has been previously engineered and brought before the commission, like Mr. Fabino had shared with you in 2004. These would be the current pathways. The one up at the upper left corner would be the in and out. The one as well as on the right would be the out, and it would be going to the right, which is southbound as an exit only to the right. And then this is the northern entrance that's proposed as an inbound into the campus, so that the flow would look something like my green arrows that I've added in there, and the parents would be stopping and dropping their students off momentarily right behind the chapel to the east side of the chapel, and then proceeding back out onto Hope and turning right and going southbound to Olson or to Shoemake. So in conclusion, the need is great. Their student body has increased some, And, you know, as I sat there the other morning and kind of looked, I didn't click the traffic and I didn't have an official traffic counter, but I can tell you from experience about one-third of the students ride the school bus to school. About another one-third are high schoolers, and they're primarily entering off of Reed Avenue. And the other third are elementary and junior high parents dropping off their students to the east side of the campus. And the whole goal is to provide improved student safety and improve the traffic flow both for our neighborhood and our campus. And many of our own staff live within the neighborhood. So I'll be available for any questions as we go on. Again, it's about our students, our parents, and our staff, and the neighborhood safety, and we want to thank you for your consideration of this item today.
Thank you, Mr. Clemens. Anyone else would like to speak in behalf of the applicant? If you don't mind, would you state your name, please?
Yeah, my name is Virginia Thomas. I am a parent and I live in the neighborhood. I live on Church Avenue between Shoemake and Olson. And I walk to school with my kids every day and pick them up every day. And as we've begun to do kind of our routine as far as walking, we've tried some different routes going down to Curtis and then coming down Curtis to go to enter the school. And we've also come down Hope Avenue to enter the school. When we have come down Curtis Avenue just one time, had to cross the crosswalk to get into the school, and then cross another crosswalk to enter where I can drop my kids off, that particular day, we were almost hit on as we crossed down Curtis, crossing across Hope. I push a big orange stroller, and so I'm not hard to see. But because of the many directions that everybody was going, as we were in the middle of the road, someone turned right in front of us and I had to grab my kids and stop them. And so we don't go that way anymore. We come down Hope Avenue. Then we don't have to come across Hope. Down there, we cross over by the baseball field. But still, we have to cross two ways of traffic after we enter the campus. And so for me and my kids, and we've also had issues at that location as well. And even though it is parents that are dropping their kids off to school, it's just hard for them to keep track of all the directions that people are coming. And so the proposed new entrance and exit would greatly assist me and my kids as they get older, and I want them to walk by themselves to school. As it stands right now, I wouldn't let them go by themselves to school because there's just too many things to keep track of as far as vehicles and different directions. I think that's all I have to say.
Ms. Thomas, I want to ask you a question. If you know, this gets approved and the two new entrances are now on Hope, is that going to change your plan of how to approach the school instead of going down Hope? Because now there's going to be cars going down from Hope into the campus?
What we would probably do, because the proposed is that they would come out of the school and turn right down towards the baseball field. So we would probably then come down Curtis and cross down by Curtis. Because what that would do is that would let us just turn into the parking lot. We wouldn't have to cross any traffic on campus at all. So that would make it a lot better for me and my kids as we come in onto the campus.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Robin Andrade. I live at 1028 South Hope. My three kids go to Emmanuel, and I am a bus driver at Emmanuel. So I go in and out that driveway quite often, and my kids walk to school. I have concerns in both areas. When I'm pulling a bus in there, you can't have a car there coming onto the street or coming off the campus in both places. So it causes a backup. Also, when my kids are crossing, it's extremely dangerous only because of how many cars are pulling in and out of there. They put a stop sign to come out of the school onto Hope.
To Hope, okay.
And it confuses everybody because even a large truck it's really tight to pull in to the school with having a car there at the parking, at the stop sign. So that person at the stop sign, which shouldn't go until the traffic is clear, will pull out and go while there's traffic on Hope waiting to go into the school. So they're not looking at that kid crossing in that crosswalk. They're trying to get out of the way for the cars to go in and out of the parking lot. So it's a huge safety issue. The backup, when parents come in, pull in to pick up the kids, the line sometimes is clear. And I live on 1028 South Hope, so it's a little bit, it's halfway down the street towards Dinuba Avenue. And the cars could be backed up all the way back there, only because when the parents are picking up their kids, they have to wait for the cars that go around the parking lot and come out. They have to go through the whole cycle, and it's taking extremely long time, and it backs the cars way up. So by putting an in and an out, it would, the flow would just go right on through instead of having to wait for cars to maneuver around each other to get in and out of there. Also, it will take the kids that are walking in, and there's quite a few kids actually that walk from those neighbor, from my neighborhood. It will take the traffic away from the crosswalk. So when they go to the corner and cross from across Hope, there's not cars pulling in and out of there. They're pulling, they're a ways down. So when they come, they're coming straight and they can see the kids. They're not turning right at the crosswalk. And my kids would cross Hope, walk down to the entrance and turn right into the entrance and never have to go across that traffic going in and out of the school. So I just wanted to make that as a point. Thank you.
Is there anyone that would like to make a comment that from the public? Any concerns, any?
Commissioners, public, my name's Jesus Pimentel, and I live directly in front of where the proposed exit and entrance is gonna be located. It's 1208 South Hope. I understand the concern of all the parents. I'm a father of three kids as well, and I think safety is the number one priority for any city, for any school, for any parent. And that's the concern that I have, that my kids play outside. You guys are requesting, I think it's a great thing that Emmanuel is growing. It tells people that it's a great school, and it's growing for that reason, because it provides a good education. Unfortunately, the fact that it's growing, I know a building needs to be built, and that's great. I have no problem with the building. I think if a building needs to be built, that's fine. I just have an issue with where they want to put the entrance and exit. I think the location where the entrance and exit is now is a very good location. It's probably the safest location because it goes into a controlled intersection. You're taking a outflow of traffic from a controlled intersection and making a uncontrolled intersection, and in my opinion, I'm not an engineer, I'm not a architect, but you're making a dangerous condition. You're facing all this traffic out into a house. And I'm not saying that people are gonna go drive into my house. That was one of the questions that was asked. Do you think our drivers are bad? No, I'm not saying they are. There are accidents, and accidents happen. I don't wanna have my kids be exposed to more danger than they already are exposed, like a lot of the parents are saying now. There is traffic. Maybe having some cross guards out there in that area. I do understand what the parents are saying. There was a very good slide where you see a bus going in and then a car coming out. There's very, very little space. I actually have a aerial view. It's not as fancy as what others have provided. But if you see, there is enough room. There's some green space that could be paved to make that entrance and exit a little bit bigger to allow the buses to come in and out. Again, I have no problem. I know people need to be, the kids need to be transported, so you need to have a safe entrance and a safe exit. I know the school wants an entrance only, and that's fine. There was another slide, at one point, the city authorized an entrance and exit close to the baseball fields. My opinion to one of the administrators was, why don't you make the entrance there? And you can have the traffic flow out to Reed. You can make the traffic flow out to Curtis. You can have stop guards there, and then you would avoid having, again, going from a controlled intersection to facing it directly in front of a house. There are other points where parents, I've noticed that parents drop off their kids through Riverview. There's an entrance through that other side where a gate can be opened, where kids are not exposed to all these vehicles. Again, believe me, I am all for safety, but at the same time, if I see that something that is pretty safe, in my opinion, is going to create an immediate danger for my own family, I don't think that's right. And again, I'm not trying to be difficult. I see the kids. I've not had any problems with Emmanuel. They've been great neighbors. We've not complained about anything. When the chapel was built, we were like, good. You know, it's a place where kids can worship. Very good. When the buses were moved in, I have my alarm. I don't even need an alarm. The buses wake me up in the morning when they're bleeding their air brakes at 5, whatever, they start doing their stuff. When they're backing up, I don't make a big deal about that. This, unfortunately, I will. I think it places my family directly in danger by taking this controlled intersection and moving it to an uncontrolled intersection. And that's about as all as I have to say. Thank you.
Anyone else from the public? Sure.
Good afternoon. My name is Michael Reimer. I'm the chairman of the Board of Trustees for Emmanuel Schools, and I just wanted to make a few comments here on behalf of our board. The board is tasked to look over the operation of Emmanuel Schools, and number one to us is the safety and well-being of our students. And the parents have entrusted their most valuable asset to us in their children. And so we've looked at a number of things over the last few years to improve student safety, things like window coverings and locks for lockdowns, improve training facilities to improve the interaction between students and coaches and students and teachers, all of these things at the for student safety. The project that's before you is the new building, so we can separate students of different age groups on a K-12 campus, so we can have elementary students where they need to be, junior high students with their own space, and high schoolers with their own space. Part of this also is the modification of the Hope entrance, or entrance to the school off of Hope Avenue. And we've been witnessing and experienced that the Hope Street campus needs to be improved. We need to do this by creating two separate entrances and one exit. This will increase the desired and managed flow through the parking lot on the campus and also on the street. Currently, there are multiple pedestrian crossings at Hope and Curtis, and again, right as you enter the campus. Because we have had many families move to Reedley in that area to be close to Emmanuel, our pedestrian traffic has increased. And this is adding chaos to that Hope Curtis entrance as more children and parents are walking to Emmanuel. The combination of concentrated in and out vehicle traffic, bus traffic, vehicle and pedestrian traffic in that one corner of our school is causing everybody to have to cross multiple times across traffic patterns. And it's our request to change these entrances to benefit all of the students that are coming from that community area to our campus. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Reimer.
May I speak?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
My name is Megan Thomas. I live at 1015 L Street, which is a little ways away, but we still walk to school quite frequently, mostly because it's actually faster to walk there. And the 10 minutes it takes me to walk with my kids, it would take me probably 15 to drive them because of the traffic. As you turn left into the parking lot from Hope Avenue, a lot of times people are turning right, and so to turn left you have to wait. So what happens is traffic on Hope just starts to back up and back up and back up. So not only are there people waiting to turn left, but the people decide, forget this, I'm going to park. So there's cars parked along Hope as well. So what you will find daily is cars parked along either side of Hope, cars trying to pull around to get through Hope, and people trying to turn left into the parking lot. All of this does not create an environment that I want my kids to walk in alone. When we do walk to school, I actually have taken many different approaches. Ooh, the last one was down the alley. It was the safest because there were no cars. I would like to be able to walk on the sidewalk, but the alley worked well. The traffic is just too much. My 11-year-old would love to ride his bike to school, but I will not allow that because it's just not safe. So these new driveways would cut, I believe, the cars that are trying to get in to the parking lot. Not only are they trying to pick up their kids in their cars, but they're also trying to park in the parking lot. So a lot of times what you get is people lined out the driveway trying to pick up in their cars, and then people trying to go in the out to get into the parking lot to park as well, which is obviously unsafe, and kids get distracted and will dart in front of cars and they don't realize what's going on. And yeah, it's just a very unsafe situation that I feel if we had an entrance only and an exit and an entrance on one end with the one way would just alleviate most of the issues that we are talking about.
Thank you. I'm going to go ahead and close the public portion of this. I have some questions, so I don't know who would be able to answer those questions from the applicant or from Mr. Wood. Yeah, go for it.
Mr. Wood, how many buses does Emmanuel operate?
This year we're operating five.
Five, but you don't, do they all go through the Hope entrance?
I do not believe so. I believe three enter on the Hope. Am I right, John?
Four. And then they don't always go out that way in the afternoon. Some of them go out the front. It's
through Reed?
Right.
Because Reed creates its own issues, and so we try not to have buses going out that way that often, but I didn't know exactly how many were coming in. So.
And my other question is regarding delivery vehicles. You don't have any tractor trailers that deliver to you?
We have, like, Cisco has a tractor trailer and they come in off of Reed. I just pointed it out yesterday when we were meeting. There's the regular truck that comes in. It's Cisco. We have different kinds of deliveries every once in a while depending on what we need. We've had weight equipment delivered. They almost always come in off of Reed because that's the only one they get when they GPS it. Basically, they don't know that there's one on the backside.
So I would assume that most of the deliveries are done after the two peaks in the evening and the morning?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So these entrances would not create additional traffic. You still would be dealing with the same amount of traffic that you mm-hmm. have now.
Yep.
Exactly. My other question is, do we have a dedicated entrance for pedestrians from Hope Avenue?
Dedicated in which way do you mean?
I mean just a separate entrance for the pedestrians to go in through, the students to walk into the campus.
No, because the crosswalk that was required is at Curtis, and the crosswalk that is painted and required when the chapel was built is across that driveway. Now, do we have gates? We have two other gates, but you'd be walking into the parking lot. So again, you're creating an unsafe environment. If we were to unlock those gates, they're now walking into an open parking lot with no crosswalks. So everybody is forced to walk all the way down. If you're on that side of Hope, you got to cross Hope, and then everybody, every student, or every parent, or every kid who rides a bike, and I've sent my kids on their own, they have to cross traffic on our campus at that entrance. There's no way around it. Zero.
So the pedestrian entrance would be similar to the one you have that you currently use?
What we would do with a new layout, we would put a gate right by that crosswalk by Curtis Avenue. You would be able to walk across Hope and enter into the campus to a paved, ADA-approved walkway for those students. That is one of the advantages to having the basketball courts move down towards the street and to have a gate there, because you could cross the crosswalk and enter a gate and you're on our campus.
Is that the plan?
That is the plan.
This area that you are currently using as?
I can show it to you. Because there was a comment made about expanding the driveway, and I'll show you why we are not in favor of that proposal from the school. Okay, so if you see the, you had it there. There you go. If you can see the dark building, right? All of that is grass from the dark building to the, where it goes white without the dots. That is the basketball courts along Hope Avenue. We would move them, and then you could see the driveway to the right, or the walkway, I'm sorry, the walkway to the right. You can see the sidewalk. The gate would be put there. You can actually see the walk-in. That's where our students' families would enter. Our campus would be right there through a gate. Right there, yes.
Mm-hmm. That's where the existing entrance is right now, right?
Yeah, you can see we would have to keep the alley. We could not get rid of the alley, obviously. Right. So you can see where our property line kind of stops, the alley picks up. You would see where the sidewalk runs along what would be a fence to separate our campus from the alleyway, right along there, and they can enter in. Or they can obviously walk across the basketball courts and hit the other sidewalk on the other side, which would be inside the fence, and walk onto the junior high school campus.
So this is the entrance that you would be encouraging your students to enter?
If they're walking?
If they're walking.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. It's one cross of traffic.
So right there, Commissioner Perez, and then right there would be the entrances. And like you saw in that previous picture where the children were riding their bikes, they were coming down this side of the street, so they didn't have any traffic issues, and then they would cross at this existing crosswalk, but they wouldn't be entering in the existing right-of-way, which is right here coming off of Curtis Alleyway.
And if my memory serves me right, that's the only pedestrian crosswalk that we have on Hope Avenue into the campus.
It is.
Correct?
Yes, you're correct.
No more questions. I have a couple, just because that was one of my main questions. So, you know, with thank you for answering that. For, you know, I can see the relief of the car flow, and with the two new entrances exits. But my concern was the pedestrians, because that's what we were talking about. Mm-hmm. So that was my question. Where are the kids going to come in? So that alleyway, there's nothing you can do with that. What would that be used for? I mean, would you guys continue? I mean, would you be using that?
Currently, right now, we have our elementary staff and maintenance staff who park in. There's about 7 parking spots over to the right. Yeah, there's parking right there. Okay. And basically, it would only be used by staff. Yeah.
And these entrances, if I read correctly, they would be locked at after hours. Is that correct?
We would have them open during normal operating hours. Mm-hmm. Which would include, I want to be clear, we're not trying to hide anything, it includes athletic events. Mm-hmm. We have musicals about 4 times a year, things like special events. Yeah. But if you go by there today, 11:30 to 1, which is our high school lunch hour when our kids are able to leave campus, we lock the gate. We would do the same here. We would not allow our kids to drive out in the middle of the day. It wouldn't happen.
Traveling south on Hope, are the vehicles won't be allowed to make that left turn into that parking lot? Has that been considered when you're driving this way, and then you say somebody is coming from Dinuba, down Hope. Is there going to be cars trying to make that left into the parking lot?
Coming from Dinuba or coming from Olson?
I'm sorry, from Olson.
We would have our high school students. We have minimal that actually come that way. We would have them turn left into that first entrance because it's a right exit only. Mm-hmm. So we're not creating any issues with them turning left into the parking lot. What it'll do is relieve the congestion of all the parents who are dropping off their kids entering the second northern entrance.
What about that one right there?
That one right there, they were only entering, and they would be turning left, and they would be turning right.
But I'm talking about people traveling past that two-way entrance to the second one over there. Would they be, while you're on Hope, are they going to be able to make that left turn?
Where he has, can you clarify for me where he has the arrow right now?
No, if you keep going, I mean, if you're traveling south.
Yes.
And then you're
going to. Oh, yes, yeah.
They're going to be able
yeah.
to.
And yeah.
Has any consideration of traffic backing up? Because there's going to be people coming in from Hope and making it right, and then people are going to be trying to make that left as well?
Sure, I mean, that's a legitimate question. What we would respond with, because of the amount of space we now have and the flow of traffic, the pickup and drop-off would be substantially faster, especially the pickup. The pickup is, in the afternoons, the parents have already said it's crazy. The fact that we have that flow of traffic, the in and out, just the one way, will speed up both the drop-off and the pickup. And so we can't say that there won't be any backup of traffic. That would be, we can't prove that. We have a pretty strong suspicion that it would definitely speed it up, and the amount of traffic that will be left on Hope just stopped waiting, it will be substantially less than what we have now. Did I answer your question?
Yes, that, yeah, you did. And lastly, just, you know, besides Mr. Pimentel, did you guys talk to any of the neighbors that live across the way of the proposed?
Yes, we did.
Mm-hmm. And how was the reaction with that?
Mostly positive. We have, I think, I don't want to speak out of turn, but we emailed like 12 signed papers from the neighbors in agreement with changing the entrances and exits. So, in my understanding, overly positive. We also did a neighborhood meeting.
Okay.
To allow them to come and hear. This was early on, to hear our proposal, to ask questions, to give us their concerns. We only had one neighbor show up. And I know Mr. Hudson has had a conversation with Mr. Pimentel. But outside of that, and our impression has been pretty positive.
Any more questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I say one more thing, or that's the public, am I not allowed
to? If you want to make it quick.
Just one.
Sure.
One more final comment, if I may.
I wanted to point out something. I think it's the issue has now become, to me, it makes it sound like the only exits that Emmanuel's going to have are those two exits. They do have an exit down Reed, and I understand that there's issues with Reed as well, but keep in mind that that is an exit that has been there for many, many, many years. The issue that I believe Emmanuel has, and this is just my opinion, is that they're losing green space. And because they're losing green space, because they're building the new building, they want to gain a little bit more green space. That's one of the major reasons why that exit and entrance is being closed off. So there's a little more, and I understand the kids need to play. They need to have some green space, but because of that green space, now the safety of my family, not only my family, anybody else who moves in, if anybody has driven out there, there's a couple of homes that are already for sale. Those people that are not there yet haven't had the opportunity to speak up. A couple of the people who live in my neighborhood in that particular square, in that area, are renters. So they don't have kids. And I'm not saying that they don't care about other people's safety, but their concern is not as big as mine. I spoke to my immediate neighbor, and he said, this is not the first time that this has come up with Emmanuel. It's come up in the past. And we told Emmanuel, no, we don't want it. That's why they built that exit entrance at that intersection, because it was the safest place to put it. Emmanuel's back again. And again, now I feel like I'm made out to be the bad guy, and I'm not trying to be a bad neighbor to Emmanuel, but now they're back again. They knew about it back in 2004. They knew about it back in 2006 or whenever their plan was finalized. They should have thought about that a long time ago and should have said, okay, this is going to be an issue again. We need to fix our entrances and exits. If our population is going to continue to grow, we need to have some foresight and determine what is going to be the best way to get our kids in and out safely. And again, I'm all for safety. Safety is, if a lot of you guys don't know, I am running for city council, and safety is one of my number one priorities. Having kids be put in a dangerous condition is a huge thing for me. But now that you're putting my immediate family in a dangerous condition, I don't think that's appropriate. I don't even think it's right for this to be going on. Again, it's a very safe entrance and exit. And now, because they're losing some green space, they want to get rid of that so they can add more. And I understand why they're doing it, but that's just not right. That's not equitable, and that's just not right.
Mr. Pimentel, let me ask you a question. If you don't mind me asking, you said you have children?
I have a 14-year-old, a 10-year-old, 11-year-old, and a 5-year-old.
Okay.
And they always play, not always, but they play outside. We have a swing on our tree. They play outside a lot. We have a basketball court that we pull out right in front of where the exit is going to be. How is that not impacting me?
Now, when they go out and play, is it during school time?
It varies. Like a lot of the parents said, they usually have activities going on in the afternoon. Those days that they would have activities, and it's more than four times. They're a very active school. Again, it's a good thing. They're very active. It's not just a couple of times. And they do go out late in the afternoon. Their kids are very well behaved. I've never had a problem with any of their kids from the high school or from the junior high. But again, creating that immediate hazard, it would be a created hazard that does not need to be created. It's a dangerous condition.
Where is your house located?
Right immediately, 1208.
Which one? Is it the entrance only? Or
the entrance and exit. I have no problem with the entrance. Okay. Let me clear that up, because I think it's making it sound like I have a problem with both of those. I have no problem with the entrance only. I think it's a great idea. I gave you guys a copy of what I think would be possible alternatives. I agree. You guys do need an entrance where you can just come in, drop off your kids, and go out. My proposal is put that entrance by the baseball fields. And that's already, if you look at the aerial graph, that was already pre-designed a long time ago. So they again, this has been talked about before. This is not the first time. So the city asked Emmanuel, and Emmanuel complied. They said, we're going to find a way to find an exit for our buses. They never created an exit. There's a fence there that's open for emergency vehicles to come in and out. That is the most logical place to put the entrance only. Vehicles can continue to go out, and they go out to read, or they can make a right and eventually go out. If you leave the entrance and exits where it's at now and just pave part of that green area and make it wider so vehicles can come in and out, that would be the way that the vehicles can go out in the existing area. There are other places like Riverview. There's a street there that has a small cul-de-sac where I've seen parents drop off kids in that area. I live there, and I've seen parents drop off kids in that area and either go through the side of through the inside of Emmanuel and the far west side of their property, because there's some parking spaces in that area as well. You'll see the aerial view. They go out that way, or there's and I don't know if it's not in use because they just blocked, the city blocked it, but that alley that people keep talking about goes all the way through. I know that it's the school now has their buildings, but the alley that hits all the way up to Reed, that's still there. There's just some boards blocking that off. Come in through Riverside and go out through Reed. Again, I'm not trying to be difficult. I know they need this. I understand why. It's just the way that it's being planned out, knowing that this was an issue back a long time ago, is not the right way to do it. You guys have other ways to get this thing done. There's the entrance that could be done by the baseball field, and that could be the entrance. That entrance and exit should stay where there's no house right in front of it. There's absolutely no reason why we should create a hazard or a dangerous condition for green space. That's what it's about.
Thank you, Mr. Pimentel. Mr. Wood?
A couple more things. There may be a little bit of a concern by your question having families turn in left on the first, the two-way entrance exit.
Mm.
Okay, so there are things that we as a school could evaluate, making sure the flow of traffic is consistent. I do want to speak to where that entrance is located, because if we move it down by the baseball field, we're still in front of somebody's house. I want to be clear that we're still in front of, it's not eliminating the idea that we're not going in and out in front of somebody's house. And I mentioned this very early on about where we've placed those entrances and exits. Students who exit now at Curtis Avenue hang a right. If we gauge their speed from Curtis to his house, it's going to be quite substantially faster than exiting right in front of his house. To me, it almost eliminates more danger because they're exiting at 5 miles an hour. They're entering at 5 miles an hour instead of being 35, 25, 35, whatever it happens to be by the time they get to that house. So we understand we are trying to be a good neighbor. We've made this point from the very beginning, but we feel like for the flow of traffic, for the issues that we deal with in Curtis, this is the best way for us to alleviate that problem. And it is, again, the safest way for us to get students, families, and kids in and out of our campus on a day-to-day basis.
Thank you.
Mr. Wood, before you leave, the proposed entrance that Mr. Pimentel is suggesting, how close to that next intersection is, and that's my concern.
One house. Yeah.
See, that would create.
You're still at another intersection, yes.
Exactly. Okay. That's what I was afraid of. I couldn't see it on this map, so I needed to ask.
I believe it's one house, but I've been by enough that I think it's one house.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. I'm going to go ahead and close, and we're going to move if we have any more questions, Mr. Perez.
No, I think I...
You ready to take a vote?
Yes.
All right. So before us, we have a consideration of conditional permit use number 335, application number 6. We have A, which is approve of environmental assessment number 2014-14. I am going to make a motion to approve.
And I will second it.
Could we get a roll call?
Commissioner Custodio?
Yes.
Commissioner Perez?
Yes.
And then we have a B from the approval of or to approve the conditional use permit number 335 amendment application number 6, authorizing the construction of the building as an addition to Emmanuel Schools, plus the two entrances on Hope. And I am going to recommend that we approve this. So do I have a motion to approve?
Make a motion to approve.
Okay. Can we get a roll call, please?
Mm-hmm. Commissioner Custodio?
Yes.
Commissioner Perez?
Yes.
Now, is this going to go in front of the City Council?
No. The Planning Commission has authority under the code to approve certain kinds of entitlements.
Okay.
You have just approved both the EA and the project. Both actions were unanimous. So now the project's been approved, subject to potentially there is an appeal process that's outlined in the code. If somebody were to file that in appropriate manner, then it would be then heard at the City Council. But again, only if there is an appropriate appeal filed.
I want to thank you for the work that the city did on this as well, and doing your due diligence. And thank you for everybody that was here present.
Thank you.
I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to the Community Development Director's report.
So with your approval, why don't
point of order. I think you can invite the chair back now.
All right. Let's invite the chair. Well,
actually, what I was about to suggest was, okay, that's like my wife. Come on, man. Let me finish, you know. I was going to say, why don't we take a five-minute break, and I can go get the chairman and get him back here, and we can finish the rest of the meeting. There you go.
And get the score.
Get the score, because I know that's what he's watching. Thanks.
Thank you.